Let's talk Detroit Lions right now with Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News, as the Lions, of course, are underway in preseason training camp as the season is just now right around the corner. The month of August is here. Really can't believe it's already August. Bittersweet, seeing as though football is right there. We can see it on the horizon, folks. Justin, first off, my man, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Man, I opened up that Darko article today. I don't know where Isaac found 4 hours to read that thing.
I'm telling you, right? Well, I spent about a good 40 minutes going through it. It is very elaborate, Justin. And, you know, they have the E60 piece coming out on Sunday. Did you read a sliver of it at all? I'm curious.
I did. Yeah, because I covered the Pistons before I covered the Red Wings.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, it was a little bit after Darko's time that I was out there. But, I covered part of Joe Dumars' tenure, and so,
right.
You know, I'm obviously curious about that, and grew up in this area, so, I mean, I watched that as it unfolded, so you're right. I mean, passion of the game, and it's what it boils down to. It's why NFL teams spend so much time on these guys at the combine trying to decipher how much they love the game. They don't want them walking away from it like a Ricky Williams or even a Chris Borland, a completely different example.
Right.
But 1 year after, you know, getting some more information about concussions, great rookie season, just decides to hang him up on the spot.
That is so true. And you know, Justin, seeing as though you covered the Detroit Pistons, I mean, I, like me, I'm pretty sure you thought about what if the Pistons did draft Carmelo Anthony? How crazy would that have been? And how much of a different trajectory do you think Carmelo's career would have gone if he did get drafted number two instead of Darko Milicic?
Oh, that's a great question, but at the end of the day, you know, I look at it as, would the stars have aligned the way they did and landed them Rasheed Wallace, which got them the championship, which is ultimately the most important thing. Yeah, the team should have won more. You know, who knows? Carmelo's never proven to be a winner at the professional level after, you know, that thrilling college season at Syracuse. I don't know if Carmelo, the small forward, isn't what they needed when they had – he was a better scorer than Tayshaun Prince, but did he fit that team, that defensive molded team? I don't know. It's an interesting alternative history to think about, but, you know, they got themselves a title, and I think that was what was most important at that time.
All right, Justin, let's talk Detroit Lions football now. You know, I came across an article yesterday that you published that profiled the negotiations when it comes to a long-term contract for Matthew Stafford. According to the NFL Network, there's still a pretty substantial gap in trying to come to a conclusion as to what the contract for Matthew Stafford is going to look like. Are you shocked about that news, and is there any timeline as to when this thing is going to get settled?
No, I'm not shocked, and no, there's no timeline right now. You know, Bob Quinn's worked some pretty significant negotiations to this point. He inked Darius Slay for 4 years, about $50 million. He just signed Glover Quinn to an extension. But if you look at those contracts comparatively, they're at or maybe just slightly below market value. You know, Quinn's been a very good, wise spender, even with the big contracts he's had to get done. Listen, Stafford is a completely different animal. You know, this is a contract that you're talking about that's going to average around $25, $26, $27 million. It's so big, there's going to be no bargains. Stafford holds all the leverage in this situation. He's got a year to sit on it. He knows the Lions have to use the franchise tag on him if they can't come out to a long-term deal, and that's worth $27 million. So, you know, it's just such a complex negotiation. It's not just deciding on the annual average value. It's deciding on the structure of the contract, the guaranteed money. You know, there's so much legalese that goes into these massive, massive deals. Ultimately, I do expect it to get done. I don't think this is an Ndamukong Suh situation. I think, you know, not like a defensive tackle, which is more of a luxury position, I guess, in the NFL. A quarterback is an absolute necessity. The Lions will never let Stafford get away. They'll find a way to get it done, and I think they'll get it done this offseason. I really do.
Yeah, and you know, as you profiled in the article, Justin, I mean, Stafford, he enters the year, final year of a three-year extension that he inked back in 2013. You hear all this talk about him, you know, signing what could be the largest contract in NFL history, which could top the five-year, $125 million deal inked by Oakland Raiders QB Derek Carr. How do we get to this point where Matthew Stafford, of all players, no rack on Matthew Stafford. I think that, you know, when you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford who's so durable and who has so, you know, so many intangibles that you want out of a quarterback, and he's shown that, you know, he can have great success in this league, you want to pay the guy because, you know, quarterbacks like him don't come across quite often, right? You don't want to, you know, groom another guy to fill that role. So I get it, but how do we get to this point where Matthew Stafford could sign the largest deal in NFL history? That's mind-boggling to a lot of people, including myself.
I seem to remember a couple years ago in the NBA, Mike Conley signed the biggest contract in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, this is just the way it works. You know, the salary cap is steadily going up. Stafford, when he signed his last contract, was $17 million, was near the top then. You know, that's $17 million in terms of NFL salary cap inflation is about $25 million. I mean, that's just how it works. Derek Carr, his numbers, his profiles, his success at a team level are pretty much on par with Matthew Stafford. And now Derek Carr is the highest paid player in the NFL. Is Derek Carr the best player in the NFL? No, he's not. But, you know, it's just a matter of timing with these things. If Aaron Rodgers was signing his contract today, you know, you better be damn certain that he's going to sign for a bigger deal than Matthew Stafford is, and probably by a significant margin.
So, Justin, if you had to give us a percentage of likelihood that a deal will get done this offseason before game one with Matthew Stafford's contract, what percentage would you say?
I'd probably put it at about 70%.
Okay.
You know, the nice thing is they do have, you know, a full year of control with him this season. And then they got that franchise tag that if they need to, if they're not comfortable with the direction of the negotiations, they can always use that franchise tag next season. But listen, the price tag long-term is only going to go up. It's not going to go down. The NFL is not going to make less money. The salary cap's not going to go down. So it is Bob Quinn's best interest. Even if it feels like an overpay now, it's going to be cheaper now than it will be next year.
Yeah, and with the tag, that would pay Stafford more than $26 million in 2018. All right, you mentioned Glover Quinn. He signs a 2-year extension for $13 million. Glover has to be feeling pretty good about that, right? I mean, he was one of the best players, if not the best player, on that Detroit Lions defense last year. What was his reaction to the contract?
You know, I think it was a win all the way around. It really was. Because, listen, Glover Quinn's 31. That's not a spring chicken in the NFL. Not a lot of guys see good money extensions after the age of 30. But he has continued to play at a high level. You talk about durability with Matthew Stafford. Quinn's is even more impressive. The guy started 116 consecutive games, most of any safety in the NFL. He's fought through injuries. He's, showed to be probably the best playmaker on the ball in that secondary for the last 3 to 4 seasons. So, and he's a leader in the locker room, which, you know, carries a great deal of value. Every time you talk to a young quarterback or young safety, they talk about the impression, the advice, the example that Glover Quinn sets for them. So 2 years is not a long-term commitment for the Lions. $13 million is good money for both sides. And, listen, Quinn made it very clear publicly that he wanted to stay here. He's made this his second home. And, he's thrilled to get it done.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, last season he had, 55 solo tackles, forced 3 turnovers. And as you mentioned, durability, Quinn's streak of 116 consecutive starts in the regular season is the highest among all active safeties. That's just something you don't hear about in the NFL. All right, Eric Ebron. What's up with Ebron, tight end for the Detroit Lions? I saw that he has a hamstring injury as of Sunday. What's up? What's the update on that, Justin?
You know, sadly, this has just kind of been part of the negative story with Ebron's career is durability. And it's never been anything that's knocked him out of long stretches. You know, he's missed a game here or there. But he still hasn't played 16 full games in his career. Missed a lot of time last training camp. And, he's missed 2 practices so far this one, 2.5, if you count where he left. It's a hamstring strain. You know, it's one of those things. Anybody that's ever played athletics at any level, high school, amateur, you know, you've probably experienced a hamstring strain at some point. They do take some time, and the only way to really heal them is rest. So I don't look at this as a serious thing, but it's just part of the underlying concerns or dilemma with Eric is that he can't stay on the field all the time. He's not a Glover Quinn. He's not a Matthew Stafford. He's not a guy that plays every single snap. He just picks up nicks and bruises here. I don't think it's any fault of his own. Everybody's different, but it is something to think as he enters his own year, final year of his contract.
Yeah, that's in consideration of that final year of his contract. I mean, there's got to be a lot of pressure on Eric Ebron, right?
No, absolutely. You know, I say it all the time. He's a prisoner of perception of his draft stock.
Right.
You know, it's not his fault he was drafted number 10 overall. You know, that all that blame goes to Martin Mayhew. If Eric Ebron was drafted at the end of the first round or he was an early second round pick, we'd look at his career and we say, listen, this guy is progressing really nicely. He set career highs in targets and receptions and receiving yardage last year. The touchdowns took a little bit of a hit with Anquan Boldin, eating up a lot of those red zone targets, but he has continually gotten better in most phases of his game for his entire career. That's what you want out of a young player. He's still extremely young. He's getting better. The ceiling is very high for him. And, you know, and I expect with Boldin gone, he's going to be a red zone weapon once again.
Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin_Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S. Justin, I saw an article you published today concerning the Detroit Lions, who finished near the bottom of the league when it came to catchable passes, hitting the gridiron. The Lions using technology to try and solve this problem. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, every once in a while I try to throw Jim Caldwell a curveball in his press conferences, and sometimes they net interesting nuggets. And so after the first day of practice, his first complaint was that the team had dropped too many passes. And listen, that was a big problem last year. They were towards the bottom of the league and dropped passes, percentage of balls hitting the ground. So, you know, I asked, what are you doing? I mean, what can you do differently that you aren't already doing in terms of making guys catch volumes of passes in practice, repetition? And so he mentioned that they were tinkering around with the technology. You know, I researched it. Nike invented these glasses or debuted these glasses in 2012 that basically kind of simulate uncontrolled blinking or strobe light effect. You know, it'll take away your vision or obstruct your vision temporarily for a fraction of a second. And so these players, these receivers, they're not doing it on the practice field right now, but they're doing it when they're working on the jugs machine. They're wearing these glasses that are taking away their ability to see, and it's forcing them to concentrate to visualize the reception a little bit more. And, you know, who knows if it'll work, you know, but at least you could say Caldwell isn't sitting idly by while this problem is, you know, ravaging his team. He's looking for a proactive approach and looking for a solution to a problem that really hurt the Lions offense last year.
So he's pulling out all of the stops for sure. All right, Justin, before we get you out of here, my man, what are your biggest concerns about this year? And what do you think of the schedule? How many wins do the Lions get this upcoming season?
You know, it's probably a little early for me to try to project the schedule. I kind of want to see how they come out of the preseason health-wise.
Right.
But
right.
I like the way it sets up. You know, I really like the home and away rotation. They don't have any brutal road stretches. I don't think they go out to the West Coast at all this year. You know, there is a little bit of a tougher opponent slate than last year, but that's the nature of the NFL. When you win the year before, you get a tougher schedule the next year. That's just how it goes. In terms of my biggest concerns, you know, I think you look at the trenches. You look at trying to find a replacement for Taylor Decker. That was an injury nobody could have expected. He didn't miss a snap as a rookie. Probably going to miss at least half of the season this year. Now, they've got some new guys in there, but they've been banged up. We haven't really fully seen what they have to offer. And then the other side, you know, where's this pass rush going to come from? You know, I think Ziggy Ansah's going to be fine health-wise, at least from this current condition. But beyond him, where are the Lions going to get the pressure on the quarterback? That was a big problem last year, and it trickles to all three levels of the defense. If you can get pressure on the passer, gives them more time to make passes, puts a strain on the linebackers, put a strain on the secondary, and really your defense just starts to collapse if there's no pressure there.
Will that run game be better this upcoming season, Justin?
You know, if Amir Abdullah can stay healthy, and, you know, he has his entire football playing career beyond last season, you know, I think it will be better. Will it be among the NFL's best? No, but could they be a group that lands in the middle of the pack or maybe even in the bottom half of that middle of the half pack, but adequate, where they're averaging 4 yards per carry? Sure, and that's all you need. I mean, with Matthew Stafford back there, if you give him an adequate rushing game, which he only had maybe twice in his career, once in his career, you know, it's going to make a big difference in the efficiency of that overall unit.
Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. Justin, you're doing a fantastic job. We appreciate your time this afternoon. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin_Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, and read his work via the Detroit News. Justin, thank you so much, dude.
Thanks for having me, Al.